Welcome
to the podcast experiment.
Welcome to the podcast experiment. I'm Dave.
And I'm Vic.
And here we go.
Well, it sounds Israeli.
Hello,
when they say
it. Gal Gadot. I'm obviously Israeli.
Gal Gadot. Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
So who is Gal Gadot?
Gal Gadot.
Gadot. Gadot. Thanks to Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. 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 Gal. Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Gal
Gadot. Gal
Gadot. Gal. I'm going to introduce myself as Gadot Gal.
I like it.
It's like, welcome to the podcast experiment. I'm Gadot Gal.
I like it. I like it. Let's do it. Okay. Welcome to the podcast experiment.
Welcome.
I'm Dave.
I'm Gadot Gal.
And that's Vic. And here we go. We have, you know, we're pretty soft on figuring on sort of preparation.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. But just in the sense that we know that we can like talk about anything with each other, and that's really part of the podcast experiment. It's just like finding a way to do it and to talk.
And we like to be fresh.
Be fresh and not be over prepared, but also it's kind of fun and funny. And I think Vic is hilarious. So,
and if you don't know what the other person's going to say sometimes, it fosters more of a conversation like, oh, I didn't know you felt that way. And you want to talk about it. And
just, you know, there's any 10 times we'll say something and laugh at each other and be like, oh, we wish we were rolling. But so we were trying to kind of think up a couple of things, and we did a lot of Star Wars before, which is good, but I think that probably is going to be registering. But there's so many other things that we in the verse that we
we don't want to be the Star Wars podcast.
Not the Star Wars only, and we'll definitely talk about Star Wars. There's plenty to talk about Star Wars. In fact, this week there was like they had the picture. Did you see it?
The cast picture.
Yeah, for the Han Solo movie.
I didn't like it.
Okay. But you see,
I don't like that they were in their street clothes. It doesn't make sense. They should have been in their costumes.
I'll tell you this. Well,
maybe they don't want to give away the costumes.
Yeah, they don't want to give it away, but I will tell you this. The guy who's Han, when he was cast and he was in, the Coen Brothers movie, I was like, okay, what? But they show a picture of him, and his hair is kind of ruffled. He's wearing a leather jacket. He kind of looks like Indiana Jones.
Alden Ehrenreich?
Yeah, sure.
Or is it Gadot? I can't remember how to pronounce his name.
Gadot Gal.
We're getting into a Star Wars conversation.
But anyway, that picture looked good, and that was this week, and so we're going to have plenty to talk about with that, but we're not going to talk about that today. And so we have been bandying about a couple of different things, and I think I have a lot to say about this movie. And I know that, and I want to hear some of the things that you
currently
have to say.
In the background playing with no sound is Batman v Superman,
and that is the actual title, Dawn of Justice, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. And
so occasionally we could look over during the podcast. And
yeah, but do you need
get
to
disgusted and have something to impart about what we're seeing
Batman
on the screen?
Batman v Superman. Rolling. Actually, I shouldn't have said that, but yeah, I'm rolling. Anyway, so we have Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice rolling in the background. And remember this moment where he begins to take off? I actually, when I was watching that then, I kind of like had a moment when I was like, literally like, what just happened?
And we're like 3 minutes into the movie.
3 minutes in, and I kind of said to myself, oh no, like, is, what, wait, what? Like, and then you hear in the voiceover, you hear Ben Affleck say, and in the dream, I go into the light or something. And it's kind of like, oh, okay. And they said that they were not going to do the Batman origin.
It starts off with the Batman
origin. And it begins with the Batman origin.
We should let the listeners know this won't be like a 2 hour and 40 minute podcast.
No.
We're not going to be the length of Batman versus Superman. It's I guess the podcast is mostly about Batman, the state of Batman.
Well, yeah, we decided one of the things to talk about would be just, the state of Batman, but also just like also very recently in the news, a couple things happened with like the Batman, the next Batman movie, which at this point is tentatively titled The Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And originally it was going to be directed by Ben Affleck. And Ben Affleck is an Academy Award winning director. And, you know, he's an Academy Award winning writer. And there was like this whole thing where he was saying, hey, you know, this is great. And I really care about Batman. I really care about this. And I'm going to, you know, kind of put all my efforts towards this. And so it was encouraging. It was super encouraging. Mm-hmm. Even after, before Batman versus Superman came out, it was super exciting.
Because you heard that he had signed on for like a standalone Batman.
You knew he was going to do Justice League. You knew there was a couple things that were on the way, and it was super exciting. And then you saw the little trailers where Batman like kind of pummels the crap out of a lot of guys.
And you knew it
looks pretty cool.
And you knew that they were totally going to F up Batman versus Superman. Well, no. So you were hopeful that the Batman standalone movie would at least be
good. But then when
good.
He said he was going to direct it, and we know he's good. He's made The Town was a great movie. Mm-hmm. Mystic Pizza? What was the movie?
Mystic Pizza. Argo?
No, he did Argo.
Not Mystic River. He didn't do
that. Did he? No, he did Gone.
Was he in Mystic Pizza?
No. He did Gone Baby Gone.
Gone Baby Gone, not Gone Girl.
But those
he was in Gone Girl.
But those are both written by Mystic River and Gone Baby Gone were both written as books by Lehane, right?
Correct.
What's...
I'm just going to say yes.
Oh, man. Look it up. We gotta keep a computer by so we can... We'll look it up. But anyway...
Because Gone Girl was written by somebody else, but Gone Baby Gone.
Gone Girl was written by a woman, and that was just an interesting and very different book and movie and stuff. But anyhow, so anyway, we know he was good. He's good. He's great. He's a good actor. He's a great director. he's going to do Batman. It was pretty cool. And now recently, very recently, suddenly... It's this weird. There's been this weird sort of kind of thing going on.
He's not
going
to direct it.
Yeah, suddenly he's not going to direct the Batman.
And there's rumors that he doesn't want to be Batman.
Well, so that's the latest rumor. So first it was like, oh, he's not going to direct it, and it's like, oh, okay. And then they didn't exactly say why. He's still going to kind of co-write it, maybe. But he's not going to direct
it. Yeah, that was the other thing I heard. Like, he was co-writing it with...
Well, he was going to write it, direct it,
Terry O,
be in it.
The Oscar-winning writer of Argo and everything else. But now it's like that script might be rewritten. And so it's all up in the air.
Well, then the other big news was, right? So they get Matt Reeves. There's like a whole back and forth and who's going to be the director. And Matt Reeves, who has done a whole bunch of stuff. Didn't he do Let the Right One In, the remake, Let Me In?
He might have. I think he did. Didn't he do the Planet of the Apes?
He did Cloverfield, and most recently he did the last, most recent Planet of the Apes, right? He's done a couple. He's a very good director. And so he's now the director of this new Batman movie. And so it's okay. It's encouraging, whatever. But then there's word that maybe he doesn't even want to be Batman.
Yeah.
And actually I read a pretty funny article because it was like from IO9, and it was basically saying like, sorry, Ben, you're Batman forever now. And it was really funny. Shout out to IO9. It was essentially saying you just got to be Batman because he'd committed to it.
Yeah. I read that like contracts are a thing,
but not only that, if he says no to being Batman, every interview ever from now until the end of time, they'll always be asking him about why he didn't want to be Batman. Mm-hmm. So you're Batman forever. So just be Batman. And I think it's pretty funny. Now we'll see what actually happens with all of that. I'm sure he's going to, you know, apparently part of it is he didn't have the greatest time doing Batman v Superman. He didn't have the greatest time with this new Justice League movie. And for whatever reason, he's feeling underwhelmed, maybe.
And now he's like going through a divorce and all kinds of stuff. So maybe just like his whole life is just
maybe. But I mean,
just depressed.
Perhaps. I mean, you know, look, I went through a divorce. That's a little extra news for me about in the podcast. But, you know, it's a real thing. But I wasn't the star of a Batman movie while I was doing it. And, you know, you could have it's a lot harder. This is going to sound super insensitive, and I should probably cut this out. But, you know, you could live a lot harder.
Cry me a river. This brings
No, it was Mystic River. It wasn't.
Lehane. Dennis Lehane. Just brings
there
me.
It is. Dennis Lehane. There you go. Why did you make me? Why did you leave
it
me
just,
out there?
It just popped into my head. I'm getting old. It takes me like an extra 30 seconds to what used to be right there.
Well, like a snap. Can edit. We can edit.
It kind of reminds me of the whole James Bond situation now. Like he doesn't, you know.
He doesn't want to be James Bond.
He doesn't want to be James Bond. They're offering him, you hear things like $100 million. They're offering him to come back, £100 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money to make more movies.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. It's a lot of cash.
No, but I'm trying to do my best Dr. Evil.
Really? That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
And
we talked a lot about Dr. Evil on our last podcast.
I bring up my wife a lot on the podcast, but she's like, if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't want to do it, which totally fine. Like Daniel Craig doesn't want to be James Bond, doesn't have to be James Bond. But my argument is he's not going to stop making movies. Like he's still going to be an actor.
Yeah.
He's still going to make movies.
Yeah.
So make like one of them a James Bond movie.
Just let it be.
Like I understand maybe they offered Derek Jeter like $100 million to come back, but he's done playing baseball. He doesn't want to come back. He's too old, whatever. He's done.
Right. It's a physical.
But like if he's going to keep playing baseball, why not come back to the Yankees or something? You know what I'm saying? Like if Daniel Craig was retiring from acting,
that's okay. One thing. Yeah.
But like and when you're James Bond, you could still make other movies. Like Pierce Brosnan made other movies. And then every 2-3 years, you go back and make a Bond movie. Like, oh, they're going to pay you $100 million to be James Bond. Oh my God. I'm struggling to pay my rent every week. Right. Like, come on. And it's not even about the money. Like, obviously he's got a lot of money.
Sure.
But it's the same thing like you're saying with Ben Affleck. It's like, oh, maybe he's going through a tough time in his life now. But like, just make a bat. Like, it's not like he's not going to make any movies anymore. So make one of them Batman and go direct. That's the other thing. He directed some gangster movie that came out. Supposedly, it lost a lot of money.
So,
by Night or something.
Yeah, but that's the other thing.
So right? he's going through a divorce. He lost a lot of money on his like pet project. He wrote, produced, directed it.
Right, but he wrote, produced, directed. It didn't do that well. Whatever.
But he did that in between being Batman and Justice League and stuff. So make, you know. You can do them both.
Exactly. But also, it's like this. Like, did the studio maybe say, like, sorry, now we can't give you Batman? Because that's dumb. Because, like, that's where I'm going to totally side with Ben Affleck and say, like, dude, don't get in my way here. All right? Like, I'm going to do this Batman movie.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like that, because I would think that Even a bad Batman. Like, Suicide Squad made $300 million,
So, get out of the way. Let him just do what he's got to do. And yet, we're saying like it's kind of hard to mess up a good Batman movie, and here we are watching Batman v Superman.
No, you could make a bad movie, but it'll make a lot of money. I'm thinking in the studio's point of view, they don't care if the movie's good as long as
Batman. Batman is.
They'd rather have a bad movie that makes money than a good movie that doesn't. They're in business.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, so we, you know, I. There's also another great podcast or another great, a YouTube video where I think it was Nerdwriter, who was a very, very good YouTube video channel. I recommend people check it out, where he kind of argues the style of this movie and how the director favors moments over scenes. And so, like, watching this movie actually with the sound off, there's lots of really pretty moments. There's great shots. There's great kind of looks. There's moments. They're kind of drawn out. They're slowed down to kind of emphasize certain things.
He's good visually, Zack Snyder. I like the guy. I like his movies.
I don't like his movies, but I like his. I like the way a lot of it's shot. And I... did he do commercials and music videos? Because it seems like
he must have.
He seems like he totally, you know, did really well with that. But you know, the director also has an enormous influence on the script, and And then, of course, because he has the director has to shoot the script, they're basically commanding the direction of the script. And so the way that he focuses the things that happen in this movie, they just feel very empty. They look very pretty, but ultimately the things that happen, it's almost like nothing, very little is happening, or it looks like it's building to a thing that where it just never kind of pays off. And that is kind of a drag. You know, this could totally be a review of this movie, but some of the, it just cut to him cooking eggs. They look like plastic eggs. But anyway, there's definitely moments in this movie where you're seeing something build and you're thinking like, oh, this could be really exciting. And then it turns into a dud. Batman is kind of using his detective skills, and that's kind of exciting. Only they kind of, there's this weird like Lethal Weapon 2 sort of mashup idea where he thinks he's looking for a person and it turns out to be the name of the ship. That to me was
Alba Vardin.
Yes, exactly. That to me made me think of Lethal Weapon 2, where they're kind of, you know, being detectives for over a name of something and it turns out to be the name of a ship. But then very quickly the movie devolves, and the thing that Batman is supposedly detecting kind of quickly goes away, you know. He should have been the one that figured out that Lex Luthor was behind all of this.
They very rarely portray him.
He gets manipulated, you know, which basically in this movie proves that Lex Luthor is smarter than Batman, you know.
They don't, in a lot of the Batman movies, they don't portray enough he's the world's greatest detective.
He's supposed to be.
That's what he originally was, but they don't, you know. I think part of the problem with this movie also is, I think they were like, we got Batman, we got Superman in a movie. Like, that's all we need. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, people will come just to see that. We'll have Batman in some scenes and Superman in some scenes. We'll throw in Wonder Woman.
Yep.
The movie makes itself, so they just care about, like, how he looks and how the Batcave looks and how this and that. And, like, who cares about the rest of the plot? We'll just have Batman and Superman. For people just coming to see them fight at the end of the movie.
Well, so what are we talking about? Are we talking about the state of Batman, or are we talking about this movie?
I say we talk about the state of Batman.
Okay.
I think probably most people didn't like the movie, so they don't need to hear us talking for an hour about how we didn't like it.
Because there's a lot I want to say about it, but then are we going to ever talk about this movie? Or we could talk about the state of
Batman?
We'll
come back to it. We'll circle back around. Because it's on TV now, and it'll, that's cool. That's why I put it on, so it'll constantly remind us.
Sure, sure, sure. Well...
It's just kind of like getting back to the movie. This happens a lot in some bad movies, I notice. It's all about choices.
Sure.
When you're making a film, it's like 1,000 choices a day, like how from the costume design to even technical stuff, but also just like character points. And I think sometimes you make a wrong choice, and the next choice that follows it makes it a little more wrong.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you're really getting farther away. Eisenberg, and
it's,
I feel like
choice, straight up,
it's a choice they made. Like, we're not going to have the generic like older bald Lex Luthor. We'll make him young. We'll make him like a tech guy, like, you know, the Facebook founder, and he'll have long hair. But like, no, it's not a good choice.
And
then we'll make him with a funny voice. Like, no, that's making the choice even worse. And then we'll have him do this and that. And it's just like, before you know it,
Lex Luthor
character is just awful.
The way you're putting it. It's a lot like trajectory, right? Because trajectory, and I've talked about this a lot to other people about just how if you start in one place and two things start in one place and they both, you know, go, right? If
they can't see this on the podcast,
Dave's
making things with his fingers. And
wait a minute, they can't. There's no video.
We'll have to include some drawings on the website.
The point is that if two points are heading in the same direction, if one begins to go slightly askew, mm-hmm. right? Sure, when they're up close, it's only slight. but way further
the
down.
The farther you go, they're right, miles apart.
They could be miles apart, thousands of miles apart. And that is huge in terms of trajectory. And so you always have to course correct. I mean, that's one of the things that they say about flying a plane. Flying a plane, they say, is all you're constantly correcting your course because the wind is constantly kind of blowing the plane off course. And the deal is they're flying is mostly about not steering or turning, but you're actually just kind of getting back to the course that you are. You're just kind of nudging yourself back. And so, like you said, these choices up front, I think Jesse Eisenberg is a great actor for this as Lex Luthor. I actually felt like his Lex Luthor was very oddly like Jim Carrey's Riddler before he became the Riddler in Batman Forever. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, he was very...
Yeah, nobody reined him in.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe sometimes that works. Like, I'm sure I know that people thought that... Johnny Depp was crazy when he was doing Jack Sparrow for the first time. Like, sure. Oh, this isn't going to work, but like it works. People liked it. Maybe they thought, no, yeah, people like. But also, sometimes you can't. I don't want to say you can't mess with something. It's like sacred. Like it's Lex Luthor. You can't. He's always got to be bald. He's always got to be this. Like Gene Hackman wasn't bald in the original Superman.
Right.
It worked
right.
out fine.
Well, I didn't. I also think as a choice, I think having, you know, a big part of Lex Luthor is him hating, you know, Lex Luthor hating Superman.
Yeah.
Was. That initially, and this was like an origin, was he lost his hair because of Superman, or mm-hmm. actually because of Superboy. And that
comics.
Whole, you're right, in the comics, the original
he had
comics.
Red hair and whatnot.
He had red hair. And actually the original plot, the original, was that they met when they were young, and they were best friends. And Superman and Lex Luthor, Superboy and Lex Luthor were best friends, and Kryptonite. There was a scenario where Kryptonite was, you know, present, and Superboy was like hurt, and Lex saved him from the Kryptonite, and Superboy or Lex said, "Wait a minute, you know, Kryptonite is the only thing that can, you know, hurt you or kill you. I will come up with a cure for Kryptonite." And he was working on a cure for Kryptonite in his garage
laboratory.
Garage laboratory, and it worked. He found the cure, but then accidentally, you know, this is like back in the '50s when
it was very simple.
Everything was chemistry, and so he accidentally knocked over a vial, started a fire, a chemical fire in this laboratory, and you could even see the picture. The chemical, the fumes from the chemical fire came through and actually started to singe away his hair. Superboy was flying over, saw a fire, said, "Oh no, there's a fire in Lex's, you know, laboratory." Went down, blew out the fire, and when he blew the fire out, he blew his hair away.
That's what happened to me, strange enough. That's why I don't have any hair.
Is that really what
just
happened?
Just got blown off on a windy day.
That was a Superboy.
Yeah.
So he blew his hair off, and Lex thought it Superboy was the one who blew his hair off when it was actually the chemical, and he says, "Because of that, I'm never gonna give you this cure to Kryptonite, and you were my enemy." Now that was when everything was very one note, and they've certainly done many other things since then. But it's okay to have. I think it was an okay choice to have a young or should I say to have Lex Luthor have hair, and to maybe have something to, you know, be in that story where, okay, he's going to go bald or something. But the choices that they made here were bad. I also think having a younger Lex as a choice, I think is just a bad choice in general, because then it's just a more of a, like a bully scenario, because Batman and Superman are clearly much stronger than this Lex Luthor.
Stronger and older
and better in every way. So it's almost like while he's wicked, his wickedness and evil, you kind of almost feel like he needs to have that just to survive between the two of them. And that's one of the big problems with this in general. Like, there was talk that it was going to be Bryan Cranston initially. And how amazing, I mean, would Bryan Cranston have been against these two guys?
Totally different. Yeah, the other thing is, I feel like almost like Lex Luthor has his plan. And just like Batman and Superman kind of get in the way. Like, it's not connected strictly to Batman and Superman. Like you say, he doesn't hate Superman.
Yeah.
In this movie, Batman hates Superman.
Well, also, in this movie, Batman has been manipulated by Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, yeah, but why does Lex actually hate Superman so much? It's not really clear. He just kind of feels threatened by the fact that there are aliens. He wants to be... I feel like we imbue more character to the Lex Luthor in this movie than there is.
Because we know that Lex Luthor hates Superman. Like, yeah, everybody knows that. We grow up with that.
And so, yeah, you know, I mean, I think a big thing about Lex Luthor is like Darth Vader, the Wicked Witch of the West. It's like that name is like synonymous with like bad guy, supervillain, mm-hmm. evil. And so, you know, you can like, you can literally like, nah, he's like Lex Luthor and you know, oh, okay. So I think that to not really show why, just to show, like he doesn't even say like, I feel threatened.
Yeah, like if you're watching this movie, so you came down from another planet and you never... knew who these characters were, you would watch the movie and be like, why is Lex Luthor?
Yeah, why
like,
is this kid? Yeah. Why? And he's a kid. Like we have a 40-year-old Batman in this. He's got to be at least 5 to 10 years older than Superman. And it seems like the Lex Luthor is about 25, maybe 28. He seems like he's under 30. And so it feels... awkward. It feels weird.
On a sad note, I guess Batman is supposed to be like our age in this movie. Like he's like old, over the hill, gray hair. I'm like, he's like the same age.
Well, so I think that's part of another part of the mm-hmm. flaw of this movie, is that Zack Snyder kind of shot his load immediately. Like he took the best Batman story, which was from Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. Which is essentially the last. When he wrote it and published it, it was like the last Batman story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was essentially about Batman retiring. It was about how he had quit being Batman and then kind of came back because he had to. And spoiler alert, it's one of the best Batman books ever, but he fakes his death. And it was really cool. I mean, when it happened in 1986... I remember being blown away and all of comics were changed by it. I mean, it was an amazing, powerful story. You could tell that, again, it's a trajectory thing. You could tell that when Zack Snyder did Frank Miller's 300, when he did The Watchmen, he even said he wanted to do The Dark Knight Returns. He mm-hmm. said that. Well, when he got the chance to do Superman... you kind of realize he didn't want to do Superman at all. He only wanted to do Batman. And when they were like, hey, Superman did pretty well. What do you want to do next? He said, Batman versus Superman. And that's the last story. That's not the way you begin Batman in this universe. And yet that's what they did. And I feel like that was a misstep. But I think Ben is a good choice. He
was the best part of the movie. I never really thought about that though, because now, like in the Justice League, it's basically after the Dark Knight Returns. Like Batman's already old and he's retired from being Batman. In the comic, he comes back for like one last fight, but now he's like back for good, being Batman, like 50 years old, running around.
I mean,
when he makes the Batman, the standalone movie, he's got to be like old Batman now.
Yeah, and even if it's a flashback, it's going to be kind of weird. They're going to have to work that out. And that's another thing too, you know, like in Batman versus Superman, there's so many Dark Knight references that they just kind of nod to. And you can tell Snyder is like, you can tell that he is holding that, that comic as a playbook, not even just like a storyboard, as a playbook. And we were just watching some of the behind the scenes, you know, the little mini documentaries, and they're cool. But one of the things they showed were like lifted panels from comics, and then they would show shots from the movie, and they would show shots from Dark Knight Returns, and then the comic Dark Knight Returns written and drawn by Frank Miller, and then show shots from this movie Batman versus Superman, like they were proud of how similar they were. But they should have been embarrassed by that, because in Dark Knight Returns, those were iconic moments that had built to a thing. They were shocking because we hadn't seen them coming, and they were like, we would ask questions why, but it was built, born around the fact that this was a 49-year-old Batman. We didn't know why he quit. It was all implied. There was things that were going on, and we didn't know why. It was a very interesting story, but he was driven to go back for the reason was a justice reason. It wasn't like just so I could be brutal. And so it's, you know, you can tell that Zack Snyder was like, he was moved by it, but he kind of, it's almost like he came away with the wrong message. And it's unfortunate because he was using all of these great toys, all of these great images, but for the wrong reasons. You know, there's like the Robin sort of like memorial mm-hmm. in yeah. this movie, Batman v Superman. So we're supposed to think like, right, you know, so what, was this like the Jason Todd Robin? And, you know, because it's not laid out, like we know what it is in Dark Knight Returns. And anyone who's read the book is like, oh, that's what that is. And this and that. No, but that's not exactly what that is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's people extrapolating and they want to say this, what this is, and that's what that is. But that isn't what it is. And it's unfortunate because it becomes just as, muddled as my rant.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say, I'll try to like bring it back to
please
use them. You were talking about the behind the scenes. It seems like they kept mentioning in the behind the scenes how like they're opposites. Like, you know, I guess they always say in the comics, "What he's the Boy Scout, Superman."
Superman, yeah.
And Batman is like the opposite of that. He'll do whatever it takes to get justice done. And it's true, he like plays hard sometimes. But I feel like in the behind the scenes, they're trying to make Batman out to be like he's like a little psychotic or unhinged.
Yeah,
like. He never shoots anybody. He's always about like arresting people.
In the comics.
Yeah. But I'm saying like they kind
of. So that's one of the problems of this.
Got the character a little bit wrong. Like I never thought Batman was like nuts. Like he'll do whatever it takes to get the job done. Whereas Superman is like always righteous. But like Batman's a hero.
Yep.
Like he doesn't use
gun. He doesn't kill people.
And I think. Like I'm saying, I'm going to try to take it back to like the other Batman movies.
Wait a minute, he doesn't use a gun, he doesn't kill people. Go.
He doesn't use a gun, he doesn't kill people. And I'm trying to take it back to the other, say the Tim Burton Batman movies or the Christopher Nolan. Again, in those movies, I never got the sense that Batman was like insane or crazy or
well, he's so,
like,
and so know, one of the problems with
Batman versus Superman is that they're kind of coming from a wrong
point of view.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, one of my biggest
a certain point of view.
Up. Oh, that's the Star Wars reference.
Well, there we go.
So one of my problems with this movie was, and this is kind of to the state of Batman, and actually this really does speak to the state of Batman, because if this is the starting point,
yeah, again,
of this new
that means
Batman, like then we this say, is the state.
Every movie from now on
is going to begin with this. It's
Batman's going to be nuts.
Yeah. Well, so I want to say the problem with that, like with what you're saying, and this was like there. I had so much to say about that movie, or the Batman versus Superman, and I was trying to figure out like which thing I had to say most, or if I had to say it quickly. And the biggest thing I could say for Batman v Superman was that it's like Batman was like the Punisher in a Batman costume, and Superman was like a guy with Superman's powers who didn't want to be Superman. And that was that movie. It was kind of like neither. That is not those two characters. Batman is not the Punisher. And Superman, he is who he is. So he doesn't like not ever want to be. He's not. He doesn't mope around.
That's the thing,
being
everybody.
Superman, like, oh shucks, I'm really powerful. Oh shucks, I can fly and save everyone.
I don't know if that's
not the character.
I don't know if that's the thing nowadays in just a lot of the culture. In the movies that we see, it's just like everybody's tortured. You got to be like
tortured,
dark and tortured. Yes. And I was, again, going back. I mean, maybe in the last Christopher Nolan one, you see that like Bruce Wayne, he's been like retired for 8 years. He's moping around his house with a cane and a goatee.
Yeah. Which is so funny because.
Which is why I don't like that movie that much. It doesn't work as well.
It's also kind of funny because I think it was the Honest Trailers on Dark Knight Rises. They were saying. He's moping around and he's got a cane because he's retired Batman when he's only kind of clocked in about 8 months of being Batman.
Yeah. He hasn't been Batman that much.
He hasn't really been Batman. You kind of extrapolate. So why is he all messed up? But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not saying he like enjoys being Batman, but it's like,
well,
I don't say it's a job.
I think he needs to be.
Yeah, but he's not like unhinged. And
he's not unhinged, and he's not a brutal murderer. And so one of the things I actually really hate about this Batman versus Superman is there's a line where Bruce Wayne shows up to the Batcave. Alfred is there, which, by the way, Jeremy Irons was amazing.
Love
as
Jeremy
Alfred.
Irons.
And it was a good choice visually and everything. But he sits down and they're talking, and I think he like flops down a paper. And it says, shows Batman having branded a villain, a guy who's going to jail. Yep. And the whole bat branding thing is just a mess. And Bruce Wayne's response is something like, we've always been criminals, Alfred. We, the Batman, has always been a criminal. And you know what? That is just wrong. Because Batman would never say that. He would say, we've always been outlaws because they are outlaws, because they're vigilantes, right? But they're not criminals. Batman would never want to side and say, I'm a criminal. You know, he would never, ever do that. That's just not the character. And so that was like, whoa, you're way off book. You're just not, and not in a creative way. Another thing is this. Okay, if we're dealing with, maybe there's a Robin who is dead. And so that maybe is what has driven him over the top. Literally not saying it, literally not having someone describe it was one of the big mistakes in that movie. Because you can't imply something so far off, out of character for this guy. I think that if you were going to make him be that way, Alfred is kind of the voice of reason to this Batman, and he's like, we can't, you're going to go to war over Superman? But he doesn't push that point of view well enough. He doesn't say, you know, you're going to go to war, but like, you know, he says, you're going to go to war, this man isn't your enemy, but he doesn't say, this is not what our mission is. He doesn't say, you know, Bruce, Batman. He doesn't say, this is not what we are. You've taken it too far. And he should. Someone should. I get the idea of what they were going for, and I appreciate some of the bits, but I feel like they just wanted to get the conflict of Batman fighting Superman done so bad that when they were kind of gathering the setup, they just left out huge parts that basically made the math of the thing not, you know, not add up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was a problem. I just didn't think it was in character, you know. And so, like, I feel like it's fine to have a Batman story where he was where he had gone off trajectory. That's okay, fine. But one, he should have had someone close to him pleading with him to get back. And then if he's going off, at least it's like conscious and it's spoken. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, I'm going to be brutal. Okay. Then when it builds to that climax where he's being manipulated by Lex Luthor. First of all, Batman himself would have been pissed. He would be pissed off. All right. At whatever point he realizes, oh, wait a minute, I'm being manipulated, he'd be pissed. But even more so, when I thought about it, and I kind of talked with some friends, and some people loved this movie, but they're not like really hardcore, and some people hated it. And I said, look, I feel like there's like things in the movie that could have worked in the character of Batman. You can say if he was off his path, off his mission, and he fought Superman and pleading, you know, Superman saying, okay, like the whole Martha thing, a lot of people hated that. Okay. I could argue a good point towards that, but let's say whatever you do, it comes down to a moment where Superman is manipulated to fight Batman because his mother's taken, whatever. Batman finally beats it out of him, right? And when Batman has to realize, whoa, I have to go and save Superman's mom, that could have been incredibly powerful. And it could have been renewing. What it could have done is it could have been this moment where Batman saw the most powerful man ever, literally the most powerful man that we have ever seen, but Superman would need Batman. And so it's like it would be very disarming for Batman. He would go, whoa, wait a minute, this man needs me, and I could do a good thing, and I can help this person. And with the idea like, oh, save Martha, it would have been this great moment where it would have been a lot more poignant. Because, you know, he says Martha will not die tonight, but it would have been much more poignant if Batman would have said, kind of realized, I couldn't save Martha, my mother, but I'm going to save this woman. And by saving this woman, the woman who is the mother of the most powerful man ever, it's like it would renew his purpose, and it would turn him back to good. Now, like the idea is like, oh yeah, so he sacrificed, you know, Superman fought Doomsday and sacrificed and a whole blah blah blah. But they didn't need any of that extra stuff. You know, and that is where it could have been so good. And it was like, oh, the gems right there. And they just like walked right past them. What do you have to say?
I think.
Wake up.
I think one good thing about this podcast is it gives my voice a rest because I'm.
Yeah, because I'm still talking. I should make you some tea.
Because I haven't spoken in about 25 minutes. But
I know.
Have fighting a cold.
Have a sip.
What?
Have a sip.
Tea.
Just have a sip.
I don't like tea. You don't have to drink tea. I don't like parents.
it's kind of cool, but it's cool tea.
It's not hot. I don't like anything. Sugar. I don't like to drink things that are hot.
Okay.
So what do you think? And I'm putting you on the spot.
Do it. What
do we think works so well in like the other Batman movies, like the Tim Burton ones or the Christopher Nolan ones? I guess they got it right.
Well,
because I feel like maybe it's partly the portrayal of the actors and whatnot, but like Michael Keaton, like not that he was having fun being Batman, but it was like, well, he definitely wasn't tortured.
That's a funny question.
You know, he kind of, I think he kind of liked the gadgets and he liked fighting crime.
So first of all, this isn't the full comprehensive Batman, because I was like mentioning how we might be talking about Batman.
I was saying
we should wait until we see Lego Batman. Yeah. But then another friend, I was like mentioning it, and he goes, I said we're going to discuss Batman's, and he goes, does that include voice actors? Because to many people, Kevin Conroy, who did the voice for the animated series, and he did the voice for some of the video games, and you know, a lot of the animated movies, he is the seminal Batman. The Batman.
Like DC gets it right when they do the animated movies.
Yeah, yeah,
those are very good.
Well, so but I'm gonna say, for this, for a couple of reasons, we're only going to talk about the live action.
Yeah, because I guess Batman. There's been a lot of Batmans now that I think about it.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, so the Batman, and I'm not going to, we could mention Adam West if you want, but the ones before that, there was like what, a couple of like 1920s.
In the serials, 30s, back in the serials, 30s and 40s.
I'm not going to, because I don't remember those. I don't remember, I don't know that actor's name.
No, I know.
And there's some Batman fans out there, they're probably going to shut this podcast off. They were like waiting for us to mention those. But Adam West, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's for me, that was my first Batman. And I actually, as a little boy, got a chance to see him at a car show back in the day.
Yeah.
My dad went to a car show and Adam West was there, and I was like, yeah, this is Batman. It was amazing. He wasn't wearing the cowl, he was just dressed in a suit. And I was like a little boy, so I was like, wow, this is cool. I didn't put together that, you know, he was an actor not doing that great, that was going to car shows in this show that was canceled. To me, Batman wasn't a canceled show. It was a show.
It's always on TV.
On TV, right? And it was outstanding. It was fun. It was campy. But when you're a little boy, you don't know what campy is. It's just what it is. It was also some of the only offerings of kind of superhero stuff. It was great.
Kids today, they don't realize growing up that, at least when we were growing up, there was we had like maybe that Spider-Man live action TV show
filmed it backwards, or he would jump like off of a little box and they filmed that backwards and it looked like, oh wow, Spider-Man can jump.
You know, Wonder Woman or the Hulk, like that was it. Now you've got these
Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk.
There's so many comic book characters on TV and in the movies and the animated shows and stuff. So yeah, so for us it was like, wow, you get to.
So when Michael Keaton was announced, it was actually really funny, because very similar to what happened when Robert Downey Jr. was announced as Iron Man. Everyone has
the
like
fans
this weird
always
revisionist
think
history of business, because now when Ben Affleck was announced, there was this uproar. Ben Affleck,
with 100 zeros after it.
He sucks at all about, right? Like, get Michael Keaton back, right? Or, oh, Christian Bale's better, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, all right, take it easy, guys. Because, first of all, when I remember, I'm old, but I remember at a Comic-Con in New York, it wasn't even called Comic-Con, it was just like a comic book convention. It was in the Penn Hotel
and like the ballroom. They have all the tables set up,
and it was and they showed early footage of Michael Keaton as Batman, and it was cool. But I remember a lot of people then, first of all, up in arms that Mr. Mom was being Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bah, you know, Mr. Mom's Batman, this sucks. But all right. I also remember thinking, well, you know, when I went to see it, everyone went bananas for that movie. I think it was the highest grossing movie in 1989.
Yep, huge opening weekend.
Huge opening. But I enjoyed it. I thought Jack Nicholson was great. But actually, I didn't think it was as great a Batman movie as everyone else was saying.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you kind of look at it, there's some interesting things. But he doesn't even fight, really. He gets into two fights.
There's not a lot of action.
There's not really a lot of action. But, okay, I don't want to, you know, speak sacrilege because some people grew up with this thing and that was their first exposure with this with Batman. And so that's kind of why. And so they remember it fondly. And I feel like that you almost remember it askewed. The second Batman, Batman Returns with
awful.
so he was, you know, people have also said like, oh, Batman movies are great superhero movies are great because of the villains. Well, Joker was amazing. Jack Nicholson as Joker, but he was basically Jack Nicholson as the Joker, mm-hmm. right? He wasn't the Joker, but whatever. Okay. It was an interesting movie. It was the '80s. Everybody just kind of, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman was very cool to see, but Batman Returns was not a good movie.
Awful.
I remember seeing that, and I had been in film school, and so I'm like learning about lighting and learning about, like, you know, how you really work on a scene. And I remember like looking at this movie, and I think I heard that they started to film it before our script was finished. And I'm watching the movie, and I thought to myself, yeah, it looks like they'd go. Say it.
I think they finished filming before the script was finished too.
it was a clunky mess of a movie, but people remember Michael Keaton fondly.
My girlfriend at the time, I guess she fell asleep during Batman Returns.
I fell asleep, and
she woke up near the end, and she was like,
"What is this movie?"
No, she was like, "Why are there penguins with rockets on their backs?" I was like, I can't explain that to you.
I've been awake and I can't explain.
Yeah, like, I guess she woke up to that scene where he's like, "Let's go, my army of penguins,"
right.
And they have like,
I think Danny
missiles
DeVito
on their back.
As the penguin is amazing casting. I think the movie was a mess, and so it's weird. And so then the next one was Batman Forever, and it had Robin in it, and it had Val Kilmer as Batman, and there's some interesting things about it. And I think I could argue. I could put a good argument together for it being of the first four Batman movies that everyone has, you know, seen. I could make a good argument that that's the best of the four.
Very good movie, yeah.
It has, you know, Jim Carrey as the Riddler. It has Tommy Lee Jones.
It's a lot of the villains.
It is, but in that one, Batman fights like Batman. Batman is like Batman in that movie. In fact, it's over the top. You know, Joel Schumacher directed that one. But there's some really interesting things, including the opening sequence, which is, like I said, it's over the top, but it's very Batman. If you remember, there's like the scenario is he goes in, you know, Two-Face robs a bank. And Batman goes in to help a guard, and then
he's in the safe.
They get locked into a safe.
Put acid in the safe, and you figure out a way out. Yeah.
But what was great is that there's a helicopter that pulls, like, a big wrecking ball comes in, and Batman gets locked into the safe, and then they unhook the wrecking ball, right, which mm-hmm. made a perfect circle in the wall.
Yeah.
And then they hook from that big, you know,
they're stealing the whole safe,
right? From the chain, from the wrecking ball, they hook it to the safe. Batman's locked in the safe with a guard. They pull the safe out of the wall. The helicopter's flying away with its Two-Face in it. This is the scenario. They begin to dump acid into the safe. Batman takes the hearing aid from the security guard's ear, holds it up to the safe. Picks the lock of the safe, pulls the security guard out. So now they're out of the safe, but now the safe is being pulled over the city in a helicopter. The scenario is crazy. What does Batman do? He just calmly, like, goes, all right, hooks. He takes a bat cable, shoots it at the wall, and it's like one of the super tension cables, you know, Batman mm-hmm. has. Takes the end of the cable, hooks it to the chain, grabs above the hook, onto the chain that is then going all the way up to the helicopter with the bad guy in it, takes out his bat torch. This is all very Batman.
Yeah.
Starts to cut away at the chain and tells the security guard, "Hold on." It breaks the chain, right?
Yeah, I remember.
We follow the safe.
It goes right back in
to the
hole where it was.
Right, right. It
swings perfectly back into place.
Exactly. The chain breaks. we follow the safe and the guard holding on to the safe as the chain goes taut and swings back and goes perfectly in the hole that it was pulled out of, with the guy safely taken care of.
No pun intended.
That was, first of all, that was Batman. Yes, it was silly. Yes, it was comic booky, whatever. But it was actually kind of like, yeah, this is Batman. And then you see, just to kind of punctuate that, you see Commissioner Gordon and who was the lady in it? Chase Meridian.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman,
the actress.
Nicole Kidman goes and looks out, you know, out the big gaping hole in the wall and looks up and says, like, holy moly, like, the look on her face is like, and Batman is still up there saving the day. And of course, Batman's like dangling from the chain, and he, you know, tries to dispatch, Two-Face and kind of ends the scene. But the point is, that was very Batman. He fought villains, you know, with, like, he beat him up. That was very cool. He took out guys with like these kind of really fancy kicks, where he actually had to like kind of sweep his cape out of the way. So it was very dynamic and very like kind of cool. And we had never seen Batman do that on screen before. It was good. Now there's a lot of mess to it, but I think that of the four, when you get to like George Clooney as Batman,
awful.
Oh, man. What? I'm sorry. What was your review?
Awful again.
So I've done a lot of talking, but I think Vic is going to sum that one up. What do you say, Batman and Robin?
Are we wrapping up?
No. But what do you say, Batman and Robin?
Awful squared.
Right. I mean, George Clooney had to
put George Clooney in any movie. It's awful.
No,
in my book.
George.
Don't get me. We could do a whole podcast on how much I hate George Clooney.
We could do that. But you hate him because you're jealous of him. Let's get that, folks. He's
like J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man. He hates him because he's jealous of him.
It's true. But I would say that, you have Clooney, and a lot of the ways, you know, even people would say, oh, he was a good Bruce Wayne. No, he wasn't even a good Bruce Wayne. He was George Clooney when he was Bruce Wayne. Yeah. And then he was he was a guy in a Batman suit when he was Batman. It was a mess. Everything about that was just sloppy. And you talked earlier about like kind of like choices and then being off and off. That one was just, it started off and it just kept going.
I wrote a note down.
Uh-oh. Go.
One of my notes is Batman's not a psycho. We covered that.
Yeah.
But this is something I wanted to say about all the Batman movies. I've noticed, even with the Christian Bale, I guess I noticed it kind of in this movie when he's in the armored Batman.
Sure.
And I noticed in the Lego Batman movie. And it's a comic book thing. When the superheroes put their mask on, you don't see their pupils. It's just like white.
Sure.
And that's always bothered me in all the Batman movies, that they have like that black makeup around their eyes.
Yeah.
And you could see their eyes through the mask, whether it's Val Kilmer, George Clooney, whoever. And like, I realized that recently. It's just kind of...
You only realized that recently?
I mean, obviously I knew their eyes and they had the black makeup around, but like... Like, I think Batman, one thing about Batman versus Superman, he kind of looks badass in that Batman armor.
Sure.
And I think it works that he has, like, the eyes lit up, like the white eyes. And I mean, when in the Spider-Man movies, he's got the white Spider-Man mask that works really good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they couldn't figure out a way somehow. Maybe they started with Michael Keaton and they just kept going.
Yep. I think that's
And it's even weirder when at one point in Batman Returns, he takes off the mask and obviously the black eyeliner is gone.
Right.
But I just think of Batman.
I was just about to mention that.
Right before he's like getting ready to be Batman, he's got like a little makeup kit and he's got to like put black around his eyes. So, you know, it just seems
it's kind
of
lame. It's lame. Well, and that is one of the things. Does he have the eye makeup in Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think he does because I don't remember.
We'll have to see. We're going to have to get to another
scene.
That's
how much I don't remember.
Well, so. Do you want to just keep plowing through, or do you want to wrap this up and come on back to another?
Yeah, let's wrap this up.
Because we're
have only like 30 minutes into Batman versus Superman, so we got a long way to go.
But that's fine. But I actually have a little bit more to say about Batman versus Superman.
Why don't we
Superman,
come back for part two of our Batman discussion?
All right. But I want to include a little more Batman versus Superman.
Yes, of course.
Two. But anyway, if that's going to be it, then thank you for listening. And I know I was ranting quite a bit in this one. So,
that's all right.
You know, but it's a podcast. And yeah, like Vic said,
if you want to hear more rants, tune in to part two.
Yeah, please. And thank you very much. This has been the podcast experiment. I'm Dave, and that's what's your name?
Gal Gadot.
Yes. Yes.
If there's one thing he learned also about Batman vs. Superman, it's not Gal. I always thought it was Gal Gadot who played Wonder Woman, but
like Bridget Bardot.
Yeah, but it's not. I guess it's the, you know, she's Israeli, so they pronounce the T. Apparently, when you say Gal Gadot.
Gadot.
So she's going to be
Gal Gadot.
She'll be in the Justice League and the Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, yes, thank you very much for listening, and
we'll be back.
We'll be back. Thank you.